How many of you all wish you were 40 or under? Huh? How many of you all wish you knew what you knew now but were 40 and under? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, if we could have the lights. 20 minutes and then we'll take question and answers. Okay, we've talked about Jesus talking about God, to God, and as God. I want you to remember that. Say it in your sleep. Say it when you get up. Say it when you go to bed. It's a gorgeous example of the states of consciousness we're talking about, and also tonight in painting a new picture of God. Contemplation is what we talked about, talking about God. We talked about communion, talking to God. Now we're going to talk about as God. This is the one that's challenging and new to us. Identifying with and as God within us. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. By regular spiritual practices, he came to the realization. I mean, you know, he did not drop down from heaven as a little baby, cooing and burping in his swaddling clothes, looking up at Mary saying, "I really know I'm God, but this is just an act," you know. Okay? He had to work at it and learn it just like we do. This is union with God, and people over 40 are usually the best ones to understand this. You know, as Richard Rohr says, the first 40 years we build a container, and the second 40 we think about what we're putting into it. This is the deep stuff we're going to put into it. Jesus said mystical statements about himself. For instance, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." What in the world does that mean? That is very mystical. How did he know before Abraham was, he is? Did he read it in a book? I don't think so. Was it a common doctrine in his religion? No. He knew it because he awakened to it. He experienced it. It wasn't a theological statement or a doctrine. It was his experience. His experience. So how does that work? Well, I think this is the way it works. Jesus had three bodies. Jesus had three bodies, like us. Jesus had a physical body, our earth body. Jesus had an energetic body. That's the body we have when we're dreaming. That must be Santa Barbara, that woman's dreaming about. I just know it has to be. This is when we have an out-of-body experience. Many of those documented. This is when we maybe astral travel. We move to various places. This is when a loved one appears to us from the past. So Jesus had an energetic body, which is not physical, but it's thoughts and feelings that are real. And then Jesus had a spiritual body, okay? Now, Jesus' physical and energetic bodies were temporary. His spiritual body was his permanent self. That was eternal. That was the part that was never born and never will die. And when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," that was the I am. That was the I am. His physical body wasn't back there with Abraham or before Abraham. His energetic body wasn't. That was his I am. And the I am was a reflection back to Moses speaking to the burning bush. Talk about the glory of God being in the nature. Here was this bush that was manifesting God's glory in a way that it glowed. And Moses saw it and was having a conversation with God. And God was trying to convince Moses. One of those conversations again. God talks back if we will listen. "Who should I say sent me?" God said, "I am that I am. Say that I am has sent you." That's my name. The Bible's name for God is I am. I am. So Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Boy, have we used that to bang people over the head with. Well, Jesus is the only way to God. And when a Southern Baptist says that, what he means, and he's always a he, never a she, he means Jesus in that physical, energetic body. What Jesus meant was, in my eternal self, my God self, I am the only way to God. That is the only way to God. God goes by many names, not just Jesus' name, but that spiritual body is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen God." his physical body. God's got hands and fingernails that needs to be trimmed. And no, Jesus was saying, you've seen past my physical body and my personality into my spiritual self, my spirit self. You have seen God. So, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Not just his physical body, that got extinguished at some point. He was the light of the world, always the light of the world. Then Jesus started making the transition for us. Jesus started transitioning from him to us. The church has stayed with Jesus. We should never forsake Jesus. Just keep following him back to us. Because he said, you are the light of the world. Well, everybody but me, Lord. You know, everybody but my husband or wife. No, we are the light of the world. Jesus was making a transition. What does that mean, we're the light of the world? Well, we've got three bodies too. We've got a physical body, our earth body. We've got an energetic body. And we've got a spiritual body. Okay? This other energetic and physical body is also spiritual. I don't mean to imply that this body is not spiritual. It is full of God. Your body is full of God. It just means our spirit self manifests in our other two bodies, even though they're temporary. That's the permanent self. That's the temporary self. Ever look at old baby pictures of yourself? That's when I was 5. God, I hated short pants. That's 50 years ago when I first came to Pastor Broadway Church. And here I am now, you know. Let's see who I'll be today. You wake up in the morning and say, will I be my sad self, my angry self, my happy self? What self will I be? Who will I be? Those are all temporary selves. As the band said, Stanley was deeply disappointed when high in the Tibetan mountains he finally found his true self. Oh, my gracious. Oh, well, we're all afraid of that, aren't we? Okay. So, where am I? Let's see. I was having so much fun here, I lost my place. Okay. This permanent self has many names. We go by many names. The eternal self, the true self, the divine self, the God self, the original self, the Christ consciousness, the Buddha mind, the Krishna consciousness, the God consciousness. Whatever you call it, you got one. You got one, okay? We have one. Now, where am I? Oh, okay. Let me zip through just 6 or 7 places we are led to this in the scriptures. Tonight we're going to talk a lot more about this one. The serpent predicted that if Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree, their eyes would be open and they would know the difference between good and evil and they would become like God. I was taught the serpent was lying. No, he wasn't. He was telling the truth. Because God says their eyes were open, they woke up, and God said, see, the humans have become one of us, knowing good and evil. Become one of us. One of us. Back there in Genesis, that's called the plural of majesty. You know, Queen Elizabeth says, I'm sitting on the royal throne now. You know, she means just her, okay? Psalms 81:6 says, I, God, say you are God, children of the Most High, all of you. This is what Jesus was quoting when he was talking to the Pharisees that he said to them in John 10, which of course you've heard millions and thousands of sermons on, you are gods. You haven't heard those sermons? I didn't get to hear them either. That's another part Baptists and Catholics skip over. Okay, Jesus said you are gods. Wow. But Peter said, we are participants in the divine nature. Thomas Aquinas later on, notice how cleverly I quote another Catholic theologian, said, the incarnation accomplished the following, that God became human and that humans became God and shares in the divine nature. By the way, you know, Thomas Aquinas near the end of his life had this mystical experience with God, and he said, don't pay attention to all the other stuff I've written. It's all just straw. The mystical experience changed him. He became aware of his divine nature. Julian of Norwich said, "See, I am God." She was in an ecstatic state of trance prayer. "See, I am God. I am all things. See, how should anything be amiss?" That was Julian of Norwich's experience. Let me quote Ken Wilber, my Buddhist friend. He says this, "At this point, the contemplative mystics make one of their most controversial claims, so controversial as to seem almost psychotic, and yet they do so in one thundering voice the world over. They make this identical claim for every known culture, at every known period of recorded history, in every known human language, and they do so consistently and so unanimously that this claim is very likely the single most universal spiritual claim that humanity has ever made. The closer you get to your true self, it is seen to be fully one with, even identical with, God or Spirit itself." Are you with me? Okay. One last quote from Father Thomas Keating, another Catholic. I'm ganging up on you. Father Keating says this, "It is our duty to become God. If you don't want to become God, you've missed the boat. If you're too humble to think you can become God, if you think you're not worthy, that is a false humility because it's not your decision, it's God's." Whoa! That priest can preach. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? That's something. Let's do a little spiritual practice here, okay? It's not a matter of becoming who you are not. It's a matter of becoming conscious of who you already are. Now, my Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters talk about theosis or deification, for the youth theologians know all about that, which is that we are in the process of becoming God. That's a major part of their thought. I believe the evolution of spiritual thought, and one of the things Jesus wants to teach us, is not that we're becoming God, but that we are already divine, and we need to awaken to it. I'll talk more about that tonight. We need to awaken to it. So, Gospel of Thomas, my favorite gospel, is written before Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and dangerous to the clergy and the priests, so they ordered it banned and buried, and through the work of the Spirit, it came to life in 1945. I just love it. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks from my mouth will become like me. I myself shall become that person, and the hidden things will be revealed to them." We are going to drink from Jesus' mouth right now. We're going to do this right now. Okay? Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." If we drink from Jesus' mouth, we become him. He becomes us. Would you do a little experiment with me and say this out loud with me together right now? "Before Abraham was, I am." It's talking about you now. This time, don't say it from your head. It's hard to figure out. Say it from your heart. The third time I did this, I had an experience of transcendence deep in my heart, of not that just I was in the universe, but the universe was in me. You can have a momentary peak experience in something like this. So Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Will you say it with me together about you? "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And we say, "Before Abraham was, I am." Can you let that soak in? Jesus said, "One last time, before Abraham was, I am." And we claim the reality, say it with me, before Abraham was, I am. Just soak that in for a minute. Soak that in. Let's say one last thing together, something my congregation, we say all the time together. Would you say this with me? I am a spiritual being on a human journey. I was never born and will never die. I am a piece of God in human flesh. In my deepest self, I am divine. Tonight, we're going to talk more about this and more about a picture of God, but I want to stop because we have 25 minutes for questions and anything you want to ask me, if we could have the lights. And it's okay if you tell me I'm crazy. You know, these are suggestions. This is what I found helpful in my life, and I'll be glad to expound. Oh, you got it. You got the magic touch. Okay. What? Anybody? Back there.
How do you get rid of all this humility that's built up?
Right. How do you get rid of all this humility, known as false humility, that's been built up for years and years and years? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. Because we have to look past this physical body. I don't know about you, but I don't look like God, and you don't either. You know, it's a... You know, we have to get past that. We have to get all of it past the energetic body, the quirks of our personality. We have to reverse that. And this is not a matter of shoring up our ego. Oh, you're wonderful. Sometimes we're not very wonderful at all. No, this is about who we really are. Now, I don't recommend, we'll talk more about this tonight, but you know, I don't recommend that people in our congregation wear a t-shirt that says, I am God. That was, you know, because what that implies, of course, is I'm God and you're not. So we see things like, I'm a baby divinity. Or, my truest self is one with God. That's true oneness. So you can say it in ways that eventually mean we can say it like Jesus said it. You are God's. I guess kind of have to go with Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. So it is a matter of practicing. Remember, we're not affirming how wonderful we are. We're affirming our true divine nature. And the goal of the Christian life is to let that inner divinity flow out like Jesus did, shining out into the world, transforming it so everybody gets to know they are divine, never born, never die, one with God. Thank you for that question. Yes?
What are your thoughts about contemplating prayer?
By contemplating prayer, you mean like centering prayer? What do you mean by contemplation?
Being of yourself, creating something.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Contemplation, as I've defined it here, which is experiencing God beyond us everywhere, and what you do, what you create, how you serve, what you think, what you study. Yes, that's one of the three aspects of accessing God, which is contemplation, reflection. I mean, I could have looked at the ocean this morning and said, boy, that's a lot of water, you know. but you know, it didn't come to me that way. It's, wow, God, you know. God's the ocean, and I'm a drop of the ocean. I'm real ocean water. I'm real ocean water. It's real ocean water. I'm not all the ocean. So that contemplation is wonderful. Find many ways to do it. It's the easiest or most accessible of the three states of consciousness. Good question. Thank you. Sir, somebody else. Yes, sir.
Do you
Yes.
Wondering if you couldn't say, I am God. Everyone's God in totality.
Yes. That's another way of saying it. There's lots of ways of saying it. He said that we're a hologram of God. Everyone together is God. Yes, and more. Panentheism, which we'll talk about tonight, says God is in everything and beyond everything. So we don't want to limit God to just creation. But as the rock is God too. But the rock doesn't know it. And the wonderful thing about being a sentient human being who has evolved, God has, the Spirit has evolved us to this point where now we are not only conscious, we are conscious of being conscious. And we can become conscious that before Abraham was, I am. It's a marvelous place to be, yes. Yes, the question was, have I tried different forms of prayer like mindfulness or centering prayer? Yes, and there are just so many ways of getting a quiet mind, moving aside yourself, become conscious of God's presence. I don't call centering prayer prayer. I call it centering meditation. Centering prayer is prayer without forms. So it is a meditative union state of prayer. And if you take a centering prayer course, they'll tell you, don't see things, don't hear things, don't picture things, because you want to move to this deep state of formless being, which the Buddhists call emptiness, I call fullness, because it's God. So that's wonderful. However you get there, it's fine. We can get there one of two ways. It's like a big board that has a bunch of dots on it. You can focus on one dot and get rid of all the other dots. Try to get rid of them. And if they come in, say, shush, go away. I'm going to focus on this one dot, my one word, my breathing. Okay, that's okay. It's kind of brute force. The other way is to look at all the dots and ask yourself, who's doing the looking? I see you right now. You see me. Who's doing the looking? Who's noticing that you're looking? That's your true self. That's the real you. What were you noticing? What were you noticing 5 minutes ago? It changed. But who was noticing it? You. That didn't change. Whatever arises in your consciousness. You can do it while you're driving anytime. Ask yourself, who is it that's noticing this and hearing this and seeing this? What were you noticing 50 years ago? Something different than right now. But you, who was doing the noticing, you as a conscious spiritual being, you're the same. How about 500 years ago? What were you noticing? What were you aware of then? Something different than today. But the one doing the noticing is the same one sitting here today. Make it 5,000 years ago. Before Abraham was, you are. That's another way of moving into that vast awareness of our God self, our divine self, that allows us to bounce off of anything at any time. The centering, the one vision part is another part. Groff and others have, you can breathe deeply, take psychedelics. Don't recommend that, but that gets you to these states. But the idea is to do it. The idea is to reflect and commune, set that chair across from there, and have that conversation with Jesus or Mary or whoever it is that comes close to you, and then relax and sink into that ever awareness that you are a divine being, eternal, never born, never die. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes, sir.
You spoke about Jesus being on your right.
Yes.
Could you put some words around that?
Is that a physical sensation? Yeah, it is. I don't know if you're sitting next to somebody you know, but just put your arm up there next to them a little bit. That's the way it feels. That's the way it feels. Right here. That's just my experience. It's because I'm a mess. You know, I've been in therapy for 40 years. and I go to an energy healer now. What I was in that generation where, you know, when the babies cried, Dr. Spock said, don't pick them up, let them cry. So I'm skin challenged. And so I went into my head to protect myself against my crazy mom and my absent dad. And so I'm much in my head. Boy, pictures and words are easy. But I'm not into my body. And so Jesus knows that, you know. I'd like to just see Jesus and talk, but Jesus said, no, you need to experience my touch. And I do. My first connection with a spiritual guide was John, one of the apostles. We had several talks, and I'd sit at my computer and type what I heard him say. And then he said, we're not going to talk anymore. He says, you've got enough words to last for a lifetime. You know, read books, write books, words, preach millions of sermons. I'm going to put my hand right here on your shoulder, this shoulder. That's it. So I felt his hand on my shoulder. I still feel that all the time, too. Because that's what I needed. That's what I needed. But your experience will probably be different. Because God, the Spirit, Jesus knows what you need. What you need. And so the deal is to be open and inviting to see what it is that you need. This may go away at some point. Which means that we've had enough of that, and it's time for I need something else. I've been agoraphobic for most of my life, panic attacks. For a while, I couldn't even leave home, and so 15 years ago, I decided just to stop traveling. I traveled to, let's say, Los Angeles was the last time, and calling my therapist every day and dumping Xanax down to keep the panic attacks away. So 15 years ago, I said, enough of that. You know, if I can leave home, that'll be good enough. I can just do my stuff in Kansas City. And then, of course, 12 years ago, I started this deeper connection to God, where I don't only talk to Jesus talked to me, and things happened, like in that dream state and so on. And my agoraphobia began to leave. I didn't know if it was really gone until when my book came out. And I get emails from all over the world. I got one from Russia the other day, last week from China. It's amazing. And then I began getting invitations to come speak. Uh-oh. And so earlier this year, I said, I'm gonna accept an invitation. And my partner Ivan took off of work and went with me. Because I thought, well, maybe I could survive that. And I had no panic attacks. They were gone. This is the first time I've been away from home all by myself in 15 years. And I just love being here with you all. No anxiety or panic attacks. It's just so wonderful. And it is because I gave the Spirit a chance to get in touch with the real me. Because before, if I left home, I left any sign of home there. Now, home goes with me. Because I'm home. Here's God, God and me, we're together one inside. So it's just, it's incredible. So it's transformed my life. And so when I've got a busy day and I think I can't wait to get my hour to sit down and be quiet. Half the time I use binaural brain entrainment, which is, stereo headphones there's various things that help your brain become left and right side become one. That helped shaved off. I didn't have time to spend 40 years in a cave, so I used the brainwave entrainment, and now I use it about half the time. That helps me center and meditate. But all that is just transformed my life. So Jesus, who I always knew was alive, I knew that, but now I feel it and I know it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
One of the deepest mysteries to me is intersubjectivity.
Yes.
The word "I am" was "I am." We can also say "we are."
Yes.
Is there a divine conscious we?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's the ultimate consciousness, which we realize we are one. Jesus' prayer that we would be one or realize our oneness. So it's the we, and that's the movement now. That's what Integral faces right now. We got a lot of individuals, but they haven't gotten together yet. This is what's so wonderful about Christians in church. We already get together, and if when we get together, we could just all enter into these states of worship and prayer. However you get there. I think I called it in my chapter, Going to Heaven with Your Eyes Open. Being one with you all know it. You sense the energy here when you come together. And when the Spirit is molding our hearts and truth, beauty, and goodness are present, and we experience that we space, there's nothing like it. That's what God is really up to in the world, getting people who are personally in touch with the eternal I together to form the community. And Christians, we already meet. We just need to know how to let those times be that kind of time. And one thing you all might think about is, I don't know if you do. If I had time, I would have led you some meditation and quiet and prayer. But we don't have time this morning. Maybe we'll tonight, and to sing and to worship together with those who are on this exploring journey and experience the we. Oh yes, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, because it is ultimately a we. The we is the one. The many are one, and the one are many. Yes, and to experience that. Wow, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Can you say the value of the charismatic movement and gathering together to praise God and to be aware of the Holy Spirit, action of the Spirit, and the open
your mind? Well, yes, I think it is a work of the Spirit. Now, remember, if you remember the chapter on stages, okay? Sure. Is charismatics, when they get together and worship and pray and have fun with God, is that a work of the Spirit? Sure. I think Oral Roberts was in touch with the Spirit, and God spoke to him. I think he interpreted what God was saying from his traditional stage, and so we interpret from the stage we're at, but it's really God working. So God can work and talk to somebody and have visions in a warrior stage. You know, they just would interpret them as God says, go out and kill these people. That's their interpretation. All subjective experience has to be interpreted. Everything we hear and see, interpret it. So if I hear something really which sounds weird from God, I check with my staff and say, I've been hearing this. What do you think? You think it's the you know, E. coli running through my system. Yes, and what I found with my charismatic brothers and sisters, Dave here pastors an Assembly of God church, Four Squares Church, right, which is a charismatic church. And, I mean, that they got me going. They got my juices going. The early church services look more like a Pentecostal church service than ours do. They do, you know. Now, in our fellowship, we, you know, people raise their hands, they clap, and you know, they can say praise the Lord or something they want to, and then they got to be quiet when I'm talking, or we have quiet time or other things. So we're going to talk about that tonight, body language and so on. So they have something to teach us. But once again, every group has a part of the truth, but it's partial. So I that's what I have found from my charismatic brothers and sisters. So my theology is different than theirs. I used to belong to the charismatic pastors in Kansas City. We were the only charismatic Baptist church back in the 1980s. And they were going to toss me out when they found out I didn't believe in eternal hell. And so they came to visit me, and I said, listen, you got to decide where you're going to be this little exclusive group, or you're going to let me in, even with my belief, and they decided to let me stay in. Because I was changing my theology, but I enjoyed the fellowship with them because they were passionate. They knew how to have experience with God. So we have something to learn. And the charismatics have something to learn from the Catholics. It's called beauty. It's called liturgy. It's called the Mass. It's called, you know, yeah. Excuse me from going on. Yes, thank you for that question. We got 5 minutes. Oh, then, yes, okay.
Just following up on the last question, what is your sense of hell as state or experience?
Okay, we'll talk about this more when I talk about integral church in a month. The word hell is simply the English translation of the word Gehenna. Gehenna was the town garbage dump in Jerusalem, and Jesus was using it as a metaphor for garbage dump living. And there's no question nations and communities and people get into garbage dump living. It just doesn't have anything to do with God being mad at us and sending us there. So hell is a reality, but it's a human reality, and God wants to get us out of there, and she's not sending us anywhere that way. But you know, that was really handy for the early Christian leaders. Well, let's just twist this hell over to something in the future. And if you don't keep the rules and do all the right things, you're going to go there. What a powerful weapon. Wow, but that's all it was. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Since we've got 3 minutes left, would you do a meditation with me? Okay. Oh, this is great. What we're going to do. You know to do that. You know to take stuff off your lap. Oh, and put both feet on the floor. You guys are so educated. Oh, my gracious. All right. What this meditation is going to do is going to put together the three states of contemplation, communion, and union that we talked about this morning. And it'll take just about 3 minutes. So you probably want to close your eyes, or however best you are, develop a quiet mind. And if it helps, just take a few deep breaths. Go inside yourself. Deep breathing is a wonderful way to leave the outer world behind and move into the inside of ourselves, where the whole world is and we are. Now, use your sacred imagination and picture the most lovely outdoor spot you could find. It may be a meadow, it may be a stream, a sunny day, a starry night. The weather's delightful, and you're just there in the meadow or the forest or by the stream, and you can lay down facing up, looking up at the stars, the clouds, or you can sit there, and you're looking at all the beauty around you. The birds are chirping. The trees, the meadow, and the flowers, and the water. And then you begin to notice that all those wonders of nature are beginning to glow. They glow just like that burning bush that Moses saw. Actually, they glow all the time. We just don't notice it. And it all begins to glow. The stars, the sky, the clouds, the grass, the trees. A beautiful golden glow. And all of that golden light and energy begins to coalesce into a cloud. It's above you. And the cloud begins to settle down and come to where you are. And it comes down on your level. And out of the cloud steps whoever the one is that most connects you with God personally. For many of us, it's Jesus. It may be Mary. It may be Father, Mother, God in whatever form. Let them come out. And they walk over to you. And they bend down. And they whisper something in your ear. What do they whisper? The first thing that comes to your mind and to your ear. And then they hand you an object. It's just for you, this one says. And then, as you feel God's presence in and through and as them so much, they sit down next to you. Or if you're laying down, they lay down next to you. And you both just look up at the sky and the stars, the clouds, or the beauty around you. And you just sit there with Jesus or His Mother Mary or Buddha or whoever. One last thing. This one who has come to you says, just stay where you are. I'm going to get really close to you. And they just slowly, gradually move into you. So you become one with them. They are you. You are them. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in and as me. And just abide in that oneness. Abide in that peace. Abide in that light-filled presence that is both this one who has come to you as God and you yourself. Rest in it. Soak it up. Thank you, loving God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for this wonderful group and your Spirit that is always with us and in us and as us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. It'd be wonderful to see you tonight. I'll be glad to answer any other questions or sign books because it's noon and we're through. Thank you.